Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 583. I'm Amy Matheny, and hey, everybody. Man, this month has just flown by. Can you believe that, like, July is almost over? How is that possible, folks? I don't know. It's crazy. It feels like just yesterday, and yet it was a month ago that we had our Windy City Gay Idol finals, and we also had the Gay Pride Parade and so many other gay events. And but we're going to go down memory lane a little bit today because we have with us our Windy City Gay Idol. I'm so excited. Trish Kapouros will be on the show with us and talking about her career in music and why she decided to compete for Gay Idol and how she took it home. And she did. She really did. She was running away with it that night, folks. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And if you weren't, she was running away with it. I'm so excited to get to know her better and to have all of you get to know her better with me. So Trish Kapouros on the show. And I mean, maybe you're out and trying to do some travel. I know I have been trying to do a little travel this summer. And, you know, I'll be sharing with some of you. My travels are taking me to some mountains, and I'm going to the south to some mountains. And then I'm going to take a trip, guys, to P-Town for the first time in like 21 years. I'm really dating myself. I was 10 when I went. Anyhow, it's very exciting. And I've been gathering information and trying to go, what's the best thing to do in P-Town? And honestly, the best thing to do in P-Town is walk outside is what I will probably be doing. Because, you know, it's something happening everywhere you walk in Provincetown. So I'm really looking forward to that and hoping to bring you some shows from my travels in Provincetown as well, coming up here in August. So, we've got a big show. It's going to be a musical one with our gay idol, Trish Kapouros, here. Plus, I've got lots of LGBT news and theater and much more. So glad you're with me. Stay with me. Don't leave. As Sam Smith says, stay with me.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Foes of Houston's new LGBT inclusive equal rights ordinance delivered what they say are thousands of voter signatures requesting that it be repealed. A group consisting of pastors and faith-based organizations said they had collected more than 50,000 signatures calling for a ballot referendum aimed at repealing the measure. 17,269 valid signatures are required to place the issue on the November ballot. The Houston City Council voted 11-6 in favor of the ordinance on May 28th.
The New Hampshire Supreme Court ruled that the ex-partner of a 12-year-old girl's mother can be considered a parent under law. The unanimous ruling makes New Hampshire the fourth state in the country to extend similar parental protections to same-sex parents, including a parent with no biological tie to the child. In so ruling, the court decided that the Uniform Parentage Act is based on a person's conduct, not a biological connection.
National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Action Fund has pulled its support of the current version of ENDA, stating that as one of the lead advocates on this bill for 20 years, we do not take this move lightly, but we do take it unequivocally. We now oppose this version of ENDA because of its too broad religious exemption. Later, on July 8th, the American Civil Liberties Union, gay and lesbian advocates and defenders, Lambda Legal, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and Transgender Law Center jointly signed a statement detailing their withdrawal of support from ENDA as well.
In Idaho, the National Center for Lesbian Rights and Boise attorneys Deborah A. Ferguson and Craig Durham filed a lawsuit on behalf of Madeline Lee Taylor, a 74-year-old military veteran, challenging state laws prohibiting her from being buried in the Idaho State Veterans Cemetery with her late wife, Jean Mixner. Taylor served in the Navy from 1958 to 64. In 2013, she tried to make advance arrangements to have her ashes interred along with those of her wife in a granite columbarium at the Idaho State Veterans Cemetery. Although Mixner and Taylor were married in California in 2008, cemetery employees refused to request because Idaho law does not recognize their marriage.
A new study published from the CDC reveals that bisexual men experience higher rates of HIV than straight men and may be at greater risk for other sexually transmitted infections than either straight or gay men, in large part due to societal biphobia. The study concluded that these men are disproportionately affected by HIV, although that does not mean bisexual men constitute a bridge in HIV transmission to heterosexual women. Societal biphobia, negative attitudes and behaviors toward bisexual individuals, is more prevalent than anti-gay sentiment, said study author William Jeffries.
In Texas, vandals in Dallas painted 666 in red on various buildings, including a church that gay and lesbian individuals patronize. Specifically, the vandals tagged the Legacy of Life Monument, which honors individuals who died from AIDS, the Cathedral of Hope, which is known to be attended by Dallas's gay population, an overpass at the Dallas North Tollway, and the buildings of the Dallas Observer and Dallas Morning newspapers. Because two of the vandalized sites are related to the gay community, Dallas police are treating the incident as a hate crime.
A former Iowa State University scientist pled not guilty to charges alleging that he falsified research for an HIV vaccine to secure millions of dollars in federal funding. Dong Pyu Han, 57, entered his not guilty pleas to four counts of making false statements. Each count carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. Han was released on bond and his trial was scheduled for September 2nd.
In Philadelphia, Giovanni's Room owner Ed Hermance has said that plans are still pending on the sale of the oldest LGBT bookstore in the country. Hermance announced his plans to sell the business and also the buildings it inhabits late last year. However, the store closed May 17th after negotiations with a potential buyer fell through. Hermance added that an LGBT-affiliated organization was considering purchasing the bookstore, but he would not disclose the name of the group.
In world news, a British immigration court has denied a bisexual Jamaican man's request for asylum, ordering him to return to his home country, where he says he will face persecution because of his sexual orientation. Orashia Edwards, 32, lost his lengthy legal battle with the United Kingdom's Home Office when he was denied asylum on the basis of his sexuality. The court concluded that Edwards was dishonest about his sexuality, apparently not believing that Edwards was actually bisexual.
A UK trans woman who was held in a men's prison in Canada is filing two human rights complaints. Avery Edison, a 26-year-old trans woman from London, was detained this past February when she was traveling to Canada. Canadian immigration officials sent her to men's prison instead of female prison, and now Edison is filing two complaints, one to the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario and the other to the Canadian Human Rights Commission. Edison's passport had her identified as female.
A Zambian magistrate has acquitted two men charged with having sexual relations against the Order of Nature, saying the state had failed to prove its case according to the UK Guardian. Philip Mubiana and James Mwape, both in their early 20s, had been held since May 2013 and faced up to 15 years in jail if convicted. In February, another Zambian magistrate acquitted gay rights activist Paul Kasankomona on charges of encouraging homosexuality after concluding that the prosecution had failed to prove his case.
Australia transgender man Paige Phoenix and his wife have had their marriage invalidated because the state home of Victoria requires a trans person to undergo surgery before it will amend their birth certificate. Australia's government legally recognizes Phoenix, a recording artist, as male. He was allowed to marry his female partner because he had a valid passport indicating his gender. Phoenix has a serious underlying medical condition. He is not able to have surgery and is stuck with some documents referring to him as male and some female.
In entertainment news, actor Sean Hayes, best known as Jax on Will and Grace, is joining the CBS comedy The Millers, according to The Wrap. Hayes will play Kip Withers, the new best friend of Carol Miller, played by Margot Martindale, as well as a new source of friction for Carol's son Nathan, played by Will Arnett.
Openly gay actor John Barrowman has not ruled out a Torchwood return. The Doctor Who spinoff saw Barrowman play Captain Jack Harkness and ran from 2006 to 2011. Barrowman currently plays Malcolm Merlin on the CW show Arrow.
Comedian Joan Rivers performed an impromptu wedding ceremony for a gay couple in New York City. Jed Ryan and Joe Aiello, a couple of 3 years, were among those who attended a Barnes & Noble book signing for Rivers' latest book, Diary of a Mad Diva. Rivers, who is now 81, agreed to marry the couple. During the ceremony, Rivers, an ordained minister, said marriage was honest to God forever.
Irish singer-songwriter Sinead O'Connor will kick off her U.S. tour at Chicago City Winery October 19th, 20th, and 22nd. O'Connor's new album, I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss, coming out August 11th on Network Records, is the follow-up to 2011's How About I Be Me and You Be You. It features 12 new songs.
Luke McFarlane, who came to fame as Scotty on ABC's Brothers and Sisters, is back on network television on NBC's The Night Shift. His character, Rick, is involved with a semi-closeted doctor named Drew, a former military man played by Brendan Fair. Between Brothers and Sisters and The Night Shift, McFarlane played a straight role in the Canadian comedy Satisfaction.
20s, a web series about a 20-something queer black woman and her friends, and its writer, Lena Waithe, are headed to BET. Waithe has signed a deal to write the pilot script. Waithe, who cites shows including The Mary Tyler Moore Show and A Different World as influence, said she likes to use comedy to give voice to groups that aren't always illuminated in humor.
Laverne Cox of Orange is the New Black fame has been tapped to guest star in Bravo's first original scripted series, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, which will premiere later this year. Cox will play Adele Northrup, a Pulitzer Prize-winning war journalist and LGBT activist who presents an award at a marriage equality gala. Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce stars Lisa Edelstein of House and Abby McCarthy, a self-help book author who hides the fact that she's separated from her husband as she starts to navigate her life as a single woman in her early 40s.
Out actor Matt Bomer has talked more about portraying the late actor Montgomery Clift. Bomer said that the film is scheduled for production later this year, adding that despite the fact that Clift was a 3-time Oscar nominee, he's fallen through the cracks of cinematic history. Clift's career plummeted following a car crash in 1956. He died in 1966 at the age of 45.
And that's the Weekend News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 21st, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Juno is a treasure. Discover it, says the Chicago Sun-Times about Timeline Theater's Chicago premiere of the musical based on the celebrated Irish play Juno and the Paycock. It's hugely entertaining, says the Daily Herald, and the Wall Street Journal says, seize this opportunity while you can. It's the final week. Juno must close July 27th. Save $5 with code WINDYCITY5. Visit timelinetheater.com.
Main stage in Rogers Park presents America's favorite drag a cappella group, McKenzie Six, performing new show, America's Next Top Bachelor Housewife, Celebrity Hoarder Makeover Star Gone Wild. Two shows only on August 1st. Tickets at mayne.com. Don't miss McKenzie Six.
Steppenwolf Theater presents The Qualms, a new comedy that explores the eternal struggle for power, status, and getting laid. Tickets start at $20. Get your seats at steppenwolf.org. Don't miss The Qualms, playing now at Steppenwolf.
Make it a summer to remember at River Edge Park in Aurora. Don't miss country superstars Lady Antebellum on August 7th, classic rock band Boston on August 10th, Jennifer Nettles and the Indigo Girls on August 29th, tickets at RiverEdgeAurora.com. That's RiverEdgeAurora.com. River Edge Park in Aurora makes this a summer to remember. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you.
On June 25th, Gay Pride Week here in Chicago, hundreds filled main stage in Rogers Park to see the top 13 finalists of the Windy City Gay Idol competition of 2014 compete for this year's title. And I have to say, it was a very exciting night. And I heard time and time again, as people were leaving that evening, that the right person won. And we have crowned a fantastic new 2014 Windy City Gay Idol in Trish Kaporos. And I am so excited to have Trish here on the QueerCast to get to know her and get to know her life in music and what she's looking forward to as being the reigning Windy City Gay Idol in 2014. Hey, Trish, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Amy?
I am great. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now, I mean, for people who listen to us in other countries or in other cities, you know, this is our 12th year of doing this Windy City Gay Idol competition here in Chicago. Of course, it is a tip of the hat to American Idol, which has been going for 13 years. And people, amateur, we say amateur, but, you know, non-superstar, self-supported recording artist with a label can come out and compete to be Chicago's favorite LGBT singer. And contestants come. They come to different bars and clubs around town for 3 or 4 months. Audience votes. Judges give feedback. And then we end up at a semifinals with 20-plus people at Sidetrack. And then that is whittled down to generally a top 12. We had a tie this year, so we had a top 13 at the finals, which is where everybody there that evening was captivated by Trish. And she took the title the whole way home. And to do that, she has to sing 3 songs, 3 rounds, 3 voting rounds, and really seduce and captivate and entertain a very large room, which she did magnificently. Trish, tell me, where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, I guess in the Wrigley area. I don't remember that because I was so small. And then we moved to Elwood Park, lived there for about, I don't know, 10 years. And then we moved to Oak Park and lived there for a while. And then I ended up just staying in the Downers Grove area after I got out of college, and then stayed there for about 31 years and came down to the city about 6 years ago. I love it.
Wow. And the move back to the city was just the opportunity to be in the middle of everything again?
Oh, yes. Out in the suburbs is nice, I guess, when you're working. I'm retired. But 1 year after retirement, I wanted to kill myself. I said, oh, my God, it's so boring out here.
Yeah.
I said, I have to get out of here and find a place where there's energy moving and just a little bit more opportunities, you know.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
So I mean, love it.
It's as you said, it's a wonderful time when you're not a slave to the man and your day can be your own and you're retired to be in the middle of where things are happening and have that spontaneity of walking out your door and being in the middle of, which is the great thing about city life. Tell me about those earliest musical influences for you as a young girl in Chicago.
You know, when I actually started singing when I was 12, my brother received a guitar from my parents for, like, I think it was a Christmas gift, and he just never picked it up. He just never played. So I played it, started playing it and played it more and more. It took about 2 months of lessons so I could learn how to use the guitar a little bit more efficiently. And then I quit, and then I just kept singing and kept playing guitar. And that's how I started off. And I didn't really get, you know, do any kind of performing per se until I actually got into college. I hooked up with a woman, her name is Yolanda Bush, a very talented woman, kind of reminds me of Tracy Chapman.
Uh-huh.
She writes her own music. Anyways, we hooked up and did some things in college and sang at different venues. And then she went her way and I went my way. And I came back here and then I did some stuff, worked with a piano player. Her name is Linda Palm. She was another mentor for me, and we did some work in the city, doing some singing in the areas, church, sang at church for a while, and did that for a while. And then little by little, I started kind of exploring different places and landed here in Chicago and heard this pianist by the name of Bobby Salone, who's a phenomenal piano player. And I've been working with him, just sort of honing in on my skills as a singer in terms of my performing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I met a lot of other people that just encouraged me, supported me. All my friends have supported me for years, and I love them for that. And I sang in little retirement communities and stuff like that. I do a lot of street singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a while, and I still do it. So it's just been a journey.
Yeah, it sounds like
a little journey.
You have looked for every opportunity, it sounds like, to be a part of music and to sing, and also
have
this, magnetic pull to other people who also have the same desire to make music. When I would have caught you at the age of 15 or 20, what were the artists that you were listening to at that time? When you were really starting to play guitar,
probably
when you were really coming to music
actually,
in college.
My idol, believe it or not, my idol was Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, and Barbara Streisand. They both are phenomenal singers, but they're performers. They really know how to perform to an audience. They know how to capture an audience. They know how to bring a personality. You know, they just bring their personalities alive on stage,
mm-hmm.
Especially Frank Sinatra. But I did listen to a lot of Beatles and stuff like that. I was doing, when I was playing around, when I was about 15, 16 years old, on the guitar was James Taylor, you know, some Beatles,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even a little later than that. Maybe I was in, I'd say high school doing that. But like I said, I didn't publicly perform.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel confident enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got into college and started working with this woman, Yolanda Bush, who really, I think, helped me to get, you know, kind of take me out of my shell,
mm-hmm.
and perform publicly.
Yeah. For some people, when you play, I mean, I play a little guitar and have performed with my guitar, but you feel a little bit like, I think some people come out of their shell with the guitar. And for some people, if you feel, I always felt like I'm a better singer than I am guitar player. So sometimes it made me more shy and inhibited to want to play mm-hmm. publicly. Do you still play guitar? Are you still?
I stopped playing it for almost, oh my God, I stopped playing it for 30 years. I stopped playing it. I was using background CDs, those background karaoke CD mm-hmm. tapes to perform with, just a musical accompaniment. And then I just recently got back into it. And I enjoy it. It's a whole different mood when I sing with a guitar. It's by far a lot more mellower, a little, mm-hmm. and you're right. You're kind of, I can't be as animated as I'd like to be when I sing
mm-hmm.
because my hands are being used and my body is kind of, you know, wrapped around this guitar.
Yeah.
So it does change that. I have to, I'll give you that for, you know, that it does change that.
Yeah.
But it brings out a different mood about me, a different side of me when I sing with the guitar.
So street singing, what's that about? I mean, you're talking about like singing out in the corner and opening up your hat and asking people for change. What kind of street singing?
You got it, girl. That's exactly what it is.
And where do you street sing, or where have you done street singing?
Oh my God. When I was about 30, I was street singing down right at the underpass between Marshall Fields and the Dealey Plaza, which they now have really redone, and there's shops down there, there's the little coffee places, and that's where the trains, you know, connect and everything. But at that time, it was just an underground kind of like bypass that you would get from one building to another.
Uh-huh.
And I started singing there with a little boombox.
Uh-huh.
And I had someone who I knew play piano to make me about 26 songs on a tape. He played the piano, and I sang those 26 songs.
I can totally believe that. I can totally.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
They didn't have karaoke then, or whatever it was, because they just didn't have it.
Yeah.
And then little by little, and I would play my guitar sometimes, but very rarely. I didn't play it much during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got a hold of those CDs that, you know, the karaoke ones with the musical background.
Yeah.
Then I started
hit
using
the lottery right there.
I'm telling you. And I'd sing on Michigan Avenue over here by the bridge. You can see me singing. Sometimes I sing right out in front of my condo here.
Uh-huh.
On the corner. I'm sure my neighbors in the building think, oh my God, what is she doing out here?
Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoy it. And, It's just a good way of putting yourself out there. You just really never know who's going to walk by.
Yeah.
Someone might just hear me and say, you know, she sounds pretty good, darn it.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. So. Yeah.
So tell me, how did you hear about the Gay Idol contest, and what encouraged you to go out and try to compete at the preliminary round?
Actually, a friend of mine emailed me the notice about it. He told me about it last year, and I didn't do it. And then I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to try it this year. So he's the one, my friend Jim Vescus, he's the one that encouraged me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So decided to go to 3160 tryout. I didn't bring any friends.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, you know, is based on votes from the audience.
Mm-hmm. It's entirely voted by the audience.
Yeah. I got voted in by the judges because they get what they call a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that actually voted me in. Otherwise, I probably would have never been in it.
Well,
because I didn't have enough votes. There was two other people that obviously had enough people there to get in.
Yep.
And the rest of us didn't, but I got lucky enough judges voted me in.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we have the rainbow wild card, is so that, you know, somebody new to town, or somebody who goes out and competes, but, you know, doesn't have a lot of just friends there, just making it popularity, that some people with some real talent don't get overlooked. And we had a wild card as well for our for the finals, at the semifinals, where the judges get to put one person through.
Right.
I think that's a nice odds. You know, it's not like the judges are voting enough to make somebody win, but they get somebody seen. And I can definitely say from you that, you know, once people, once in a big crowd, people see you, the performance was definitely so captivating. Tell me about, when you're prepping for the finals, you're in the top 13, you know you're going to main stage, which is, by the way, a beautiful facility and a fantastic acoustics.
It is. Very nice.
You know, picking that first song, so you make it past that first elimination is very important, so that hopefully you get a second song where you can show some range and you can show diversity, which you definitely did, looking at all three of your songs. How did you pick that first song, and what was the first song, and why was that important for you to that be your introduction to that room?
Well, it was called With You I'm Born Again. So just the name of the song, it was done by, if I remember right, People Bryson and Selena Holmes.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful duet. It's a program that can be sung to any group, gay, straight, whatever, because it reaches out to any any group of people, because mm-hmm. it's just about love, mm-hmm. you know, and finding each other and whatever. So that song, I've sang it before, and it is just so amazing. It's just so emotional. It's so captivating. And I wanted to use that as my first song. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And I'm glad I did, because I think it kind of captured, you know, it grabbed onto people, and people could really identify with the song. Mm-hmm. And those of you who don't know the song, you should need to look it up. It's called With You I'm Born Again.
Yeah.
And check it out. It's a very beautiful song.
Well, most people, I think, once they hear it, they know it. It's that song.
Yeah.
It's that song that, like, you're not sure you know it, but as soon as you started singing, we all knew the drama behind it. And, you know, I mean, I definitely know the judges gave you a standing ovation from your first round. So, did the applause. You know, the comment that so many people made while you were performing was just that you seemed so connected to it. And that, I remember one of the judges saying, "I believe you." And that's something that street singing and what you've talked about, you know, a life of music, you know that you really only want to sing the stuff that means something to you. Mm-hmm. And what are you looking for in a good song when you're selecting music?
Emotion in the song, a message. I try to sing songs that are positive. I mean, I really want to put out into the universe a positive message if I can through a song, or if it's a song that would be more playful, something that's lighter and make people feel more playful, and then I would do that. And I want to, it has to have a lot of expression, and it has to have some emotion to it. I mean, that's what I pick it for. I mean, and I feel the song. I mean, it speaks to me. I can relate to it. I think other people can relate to it. And it connects us.
Yeah.
Is what it does. It's just amazing. Music, I can connect with someone who I've never met on a very deep and personal level, which I'm so blessed to have that opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm. So with your second song, you did the Sister Sledge hit We Are Family.
Which yeah, We Are Family.
Showed some fun and some pep and some pop. And showed that range, and then we got down to the final three, and you really brought it home singing the
Hallelujah song.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Which has been covered by, you know, amazing singers. I mean, Leonard Cohen's song.
Katie Lang did it, if I remember right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tim Buckley. Jeff Buckley. And others have performed this song. Rufus Wainwright, queer performer, has performed a beautiful rendition of this song.
Yeah.
What did you think? I mean, did you think by the time you got there, you could actually take this thing and win the title?
Well, you know, I wasn't really sure, because these other two young people were very good. I mean, they were very, very good singers. I think, because I'm a little older, I may have more of a, I've maybe developed my performance skills a little bit more in terms of performing to an audience, but in terms of their voices, mm-hmm. they were phenomenal. Especially the woman, her name is Paige. She really does have a wonderful voice.
Well, and the
amazing, she does have presence too. She has a lot of presence.
Absolutely. And Paige is an interesting story, because she moved here from, I think, Orlando. And also too, she didn't know a lot of people. And didn't, you know, is new to town. So to you know, earn third place in this competition by not you know, knowing lots of people is pretty extraordinary. And then we had Timothy, young, very sensitive, very artistic, and a great voice. And I too feel like he is on a real path to finding his voice. And I don't mean just his technique, but like his artistic voice. And so it was a really great performance of three very different type of singers. But, you know, in the years past, we've had a real plethora of men be in the final six or in the final three. And really nice this year to have had so many strong women in the competition. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited about that. So you one of the things that you were awarded a lot of prizes, you got an iPad mini, you got a trip to Curacao on American Airlines, you know, lots of great Smirnoff and Tanqueray and Kettle and Don Julio swag and other things. And, one of the things you were awarded was $1,000, and you, when, Sophia, the hostess, asked, you know, how you felt about that night and everything, you were so humble and so a part of the spirit of like the artistic and LGBT community. You said, you know, you wanted to give some of your prize money to Timothy and to Paige, and just such a generous spirit of passing on the legacy, you know. I mean, obviously you are older than those two singers, and and I don't know. I mean, I'm curious as to if it just seemed to me that you evoke something that seemed to understand the role of mentorship and the role of the different place on the journey that we are as LGBT people. Is that important to you?
Well, it's important just in terms of just human nature, human life, human just between each of us. I mean, it's like, how can I put this? It's like, when you're blessed and you've received some kind of a blessing, is to share it with others. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully they'll share it with others. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll share it with others, and we keep passing it forward. And I, you know, I'm in a point in my life, not to say I don't need money, but I could share it. I'm very blessed. I have a comfortable life. I've been blessed on so many levels. And these young people are just starting off. Mm-hmm. And, it's about just sharing your blessing. Mm-hmm. And so when I looked at those two, I said, they deserve to get something out of this. I don't know what they got, but I said, they deserve something. That's all I was doing. I know that. Yeah. And for them, the amount of money, I guess, was, they were really like taken back. They were like, oh, wow, that's very cool. Thank you so much, or whatever. So that's, I don't know.
Well, it's a really generous gesture, and I have done, you know, 12 years of this, and I've never seen anything like it. So it was super impactful. And
well, I learned that from my father. My father has been very generous to other people along the way because he's been so blessed. He's worked very hard for what he has.
Yeah.
But he's helped other people out so that, you know.
It's
so
good.
That's
good Greek stock. I can tell from your
last name,
Kapouros. Yes.
Right.
I want to know if you were rooting for Greece in the World Cup, because they almost pulled it off.
I know they almost did, but no, I'm USA all the way, baby.
There you go.
USA all the way, though.
That's right. It's one of my favorite countries. I love Greece. So I love when I meet a Greek. So one of the other fantastic prizes was that the Cabaret Project in Chicago, which has been started by some wonderful people who recognize that somehow the past handful of years, there has been a lack of presence for cabaret performers and a void that used to be filled decades before. And so trying to create some wonderful evenings of cabaret here in Chicago with local cabaret artists connected with some artists that they're bringing in. And you are going to be, you were offered paid performance to be a part of the lineup with the next two Cabaret Project events. One is this is the Divine Decadence series, and you will be performing Friday, July 25th. There's two shows, one at 7 and one at 9 at Circuit. All of these shows with the Cabaret Project are going to be at Circuit. That's kind of their home right now. And it's going to be an evening with Tony Tripoli, who is fantastic and funny, and people are going to love Tony if they don't know him, with Amy Armstrong, of course, is a big part of this Cabaret Project. And you're going to be singing as well. Are you excited about performing with this series?
Oh, very excited. Yes. I know Kyle. I've met him before, and I met him actually 5 years ago, and he's an extraordinary young man in terms of his vision.
Yeah.
And what he's put together with this Cabaret Project series and everything. So it's going to be a pleasure and a privilege to work with him.
Well, and I love that he was bold enough, seeing who our top 13 were, to say, whoever it is, we're going to put them and give them this opportunity. So when you won, and he was like, oh, I'm familiar with
with Trish, you know, I'm sure he was excited to have someone with your history and your caliber performing. You'll also be performing again in August. So they've got one event in July, July 25th, Friday. And then in the Friday, August 15th, you'll be performing with the Cabaret Series again, also at Circuit, in with Misconception and Simply the Best, and you will be there as well. So it'll be a night of ladies, Misconception, Amy Armstrong, and you. So I just want to let people know you can get these Cabaret Project tickets at buytix.net. We'll have that in our show notes so you can click on and get your tickets, buytix.net. Just, I mean, what a fantastic way to just see some good cabaret right in Lakeview and, you know, world-class cabaret right here in our own backyard. You can walk to work. it's great. It's great. People can pop over there. So you have your own website, which I didn't even know you had your website, but I guess most artists today all have a website, and yours is trishkaporos.com, which we'll have linked. And I hear that you have a CD, so that's fantastic. You know, people go to hear somebody sing, and you so wish you could take some piece of it home with you, you know, or put it in your car, or put it in your iPod. Mm-hmm. It's so fantastic. So will you be selling your CDs at these Cabaret Project events so that people can get your CD?
Yes, I will be bringing them with me and selling them,
Fantastic.
And they are a good deal. They're going to be a good deal for you.
That's great. That's great. Well, Trish, I am excited about your year ahead, and I know that many people will reach out to you and try to find different opportunities for you to appear, and you know, we never know what happens once, you know, more people get to see what we do and hear our story and hear what we're about. And watching you sing, it's kind of like I don't know a lot of the facts about you, but watching you sing and perform, I kind of was like, oh, I feel like I know her, and I know what she's about. And that's to me the power of an artist and the power of a great performer and singer. So
well, thank you so much.
I am so excited for you. Trish Kaporos, she is our 2014 Windy City Gay Idol. Definitely check out her website to keep in touch with where she's singing. You might just find her popped up on the street somewhere. Now you can do like a bedazzled sign now with glitter that's like 2014 Windy City Gay Idol right here singing on the street. That's what I would do. And she'll be a part of the Cabaret Project Divine Decadent Series Friday, July 25th at Circuit. It's an evening with Tony Tripoli, Amy Armstrong, and Trish Kaporos. And also Friday, August 15th, 2014 at Circuit, Misconception is here in Simply the Best, along with Amy Armstrong and Trish Kaporos. And hey, I should mention for sure that the fantastic, and I almost would like to call her Dame Coco Peru, will be at the third of the Decadence series in September, September 26th, also at Circuit, an intimate evening with Coco Peru. That is going to be a night too. That is going to be a lot of fun. And Miss Peru can fill a stage. So, that will be a really, really good time.
That'd be great.
So you can get those tickets linked in our show notes at buytix.net. And Trish Kaporos, we will look forward to talking with you here sometime within the next year and hear about your adventures.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, Amy.
Thanks, Trish.
All right, take care.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great week. And I hope you'll go out and hear Trish at one of the Cabaret Project events, either in July or August, and check out other things the Cabaret Project are doing in the next few months. Coco Peru, that will be a very fun show as well coming up in September. Eke out the best that you can. There's like 10 days left in July or less, depending upon when you're listening to this Queercast. So summer is fleeting. It's finally gotten hot. But summer is fleeting, so make the most of it. Go out and be proud, and give some love. Give some love to somebody today. That's what I'm going to go do right now. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Let me love you. It's for sure.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast.
Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.